Good morning, everyone. This is a day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I am definitely glad to be seen and not to be viewed. Of course, I know that time is coming, though. But in the meantime, I do my best to try to serve the Lord. My lesson this morning, or what I would like to talk to you for a few minutes about, is I have entitled it, A Story Behind Two Trees in the Garden of Eden. Now, this is my perspective, but it's taken from the Word of God, and I'm going to try my best to rightly decipher the Word so you will get something out of it as well as I get something out of it, and it will help us maybe see a different perspective in the way in which we live. Maybe it will uplift us in times of hard times, and it will keep us striving to do what God says. Before I get started, I need a little extra help, so I'm going to actually join with me while I call on the Lord. Oh Lord, at this time I ask that you will speak through me, speak to me, speak to all of those that are in the sound of my hearing, that we will be able to draw from these words that I'm about to deliver, and it will help us, Lord, to do your will more efficiently, more strongly, more faithfully, and that you will find favor in each and every one of us. I ask this blessing in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Okay, this comes from the book of Genesis, starting out. And I'm sure everyone probably has heard about the creation, how God formed the world in 6 days, and the seventh day he rested. And God made everything, and everything was good. That much we know. God intended to place two trees in the Garden of Eden because he valued Adam and Eve's free will. As his precious creation, he made them distinctly in his own image, just like each one of us. Sometimes I think we don't realize how blessed we are, you know, to be made in God's image. But he also gave, as he gave to Adam and Eve, he gave to us also. He gave us the ability to choose. We can choose what we desire to do. We can choose right from wrong. The good part about it is God always tells us what the consequence is going to be before you even make the choice, the same way as he did with Adam and Eve. He doesn't make you do anything, just like he didn't make Adam and Eve do anything. He couldn't do that and said that they were free, because if he had made them follow his command, then they would have been robots, just like we would have been robots. Now, mind you, everything I said about Adam and Eve, well, not everything, but pretty much everything that I say about Adam and Eve, what he gave to Adam and Eve, he gives to us too each and every day. Sometimes we don't think about it, we don't realize it, and we tend to forget it. But he gives us the same thing. He provides for us each day. He tells us in his word what we should do, what would be best for us. As we're about to study now in Proverbs, if we didn't know, we will get a good understanding of what God wants us to do. And by our intellect, we should know a lot of it will make sense to us and will be beneficial to us if we do that. We have the free will. We have the option to choose to obey or disobey the same way as Adam and Eve did. Now, in verses 8 and 9 of Genesis chapter 2, it reads thus, "The Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God caused every tree to grow that is pleasing to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge and the knowledge of good and evil." Now all this was done before Eve was created. God did this, created the whole world, put everything in the world, the animals, the sun and the moon, the sky, the seas, everything. And then he made this garden and put Adam in it. And he even brought everything, all of the animals, to Adam and gave him the ability to name everything that he created. But he saw that, you know, everything else was made with companion. And he said to himself, "It's not good for man to live alone. I need to make a companion for him also." And when he put Adam in the garden and told him to do everything that he wanted him to do, also Adam had a job of tending the garden. He also commanded Adam in verse, which all the way read for us, verse 16 and 17, "And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die.'" Now, an interesting point that came to me here was, God didn't say, "If you eat of it." He said, "When you eat of it." As if he already knew that Adam was going to eat from it. Now, that's a thought to think about, because if he did that, if he knew Adam was going to do that, why would he even put it there? Why would he put the tree there in the first place? Isn't that almost like a temptation? You know? But as he does with us today, with all the free will we have, with all the smartness that we have, the intellect we have, how can you prove that you have the free choice if you don't be tested? Some way you got to be tested. If you go to school and you learn something, how to do something, you got all this knowledge. You got to put it to use in order for it to be a working knowledge. Because if you don't, you can say, "Well, I know everything." Unless somebody asks you something, you can claim anything you want. You can say, "I'm the smartest person in the world." Nobody questions that. As soon as they question that, we'll find out, how smart are you? Okay? You have free will to do whatever you want to do. And God told him, He said, "Do not eat from this tree." How else is he going to find out if he's going to eat from it or not? Well, God already knew the answer. Now, a little bit further in Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 and 23, when God realized that Adam needed to have a helpmate, he took the rib from Adam, and he made a woman, and he brought the woman to him. Now, it would seem like this would be almost like a fairy tale, happy ever after. You got a good garden right here with anything and everything you want. You got companionship. You got plenty of food. You can do anything you want to do. that's what we call eating paradise, right? That's what you can get up in the morning and do. Well, he did have a job to till the garden, but other than that, you got free will to do anything you want to do, and you're well taken care of. You don't have to worry about anything. That's a great life. And because the job is not that hard to do. And just like in our life today, how long does things go smooth before something happens? I mean, you think about it. You can think of, oh man, I remember when back in such and such a time, everything was going good. You know, you might have had a great job. You might have had money. You might have had a fine car. You might have had a good companionship. You might have had nice house living. You might have was at a certain place where you could kick your feet back, didn't have to work. Some people said, man, I had a great job. I went to work every day. I didn't do nothing. Got paid. Yeah, that's great. It's always good. You got food in your cupboard. Money in the bank, no, not a care in the world. I know when I was young, I ain't had to worry about anything except for when, you know, the clothes that they bought me, sometimes I didn't like it, but I was well taken care of, and I had clothes to wear, always had food to eat. I even remember one time my grandma asked me, what you want to eat for breakfast this morning? Me and my smartness, what I want, you don't have. She looked at me. Well, you don't know what I got. What do you want? I couldn't think of a thing. But trying to be smart. But still, life was good. But how long does that last? It doesn't last long. And it didn't last long for Adam and Eve. Because Satan came up to her in the form of a serpent. Excuse me, my words is a little tricky this morning. That's because I'm a little nervous standing up here, but I'm going to get through this, God's help. And he challenged her and tested her and wanted to know, as he always does to us too, did God really say? You know, and you had to know that even though when God made the garden, and put everything in there and put man in there before he made Eve. When he did make Eve, Adam had to tell her everything that she was supposed to do and what she wasn't supposed to do. It just come natural. I mean, well, it seemed like it was natural anyway. And even if he didn't, if God told Adam, then he would have told Eve too. One way or the other, she had to know that she wasn't supposed to eat from that tree. When we see in Genesis chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, that ye die. Now, as I read before, we know that God told Adam, you can eat of any tree, but not from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Didn't say anything about not touching it. But being that Adam was a typical man, he probably told Eve, God said we can eat from any tree here, but not this one. Don't even touch it. Don't even get close to it. He might have even told her, don't even look at it. Because he would have wanted her to know, we're going to die. So I'm going to try to make you realize, whatever you're thinking about, don't think it. Leave that tree alone. And that's why she probably told the devil, not God said, don't touch it. But she did know it was forbidden fruit. But of course, her curiosity got the better of her, and she took from it and ate, and she gave it to Adam. Now, people sometimes say, well, yeah, the woman was the first one to sin. That is true, she may be the first one to sin, because the devil came to her first. But didn't Adam know that he wasn't supposed to eat? Didn't God tell him first? He was the first, in my mind, I like to think that he was the one that told Eve not to mess with it. So even if she brought it to him, he should have known. God said, don't eat from there. You messed up. I'm not going to mess up. So people sometimes try to make it look like it's all the woman's fault. But it's just as much the woman's fault as it is the man's fault. Or I should say, it's just as much the man's fault as it is the woman's fault. Because God put them together as one, and he created them to be together. So they lived together, and they had everything together. If she has guilt, then he has guilt too. You can't divide or separate and say, oh, it was all her fault, which that's what Adam did when he said that, it's the woman that you gave me. Well, did she twist your arm and put it in your mouth and push it down your throat? Of course not. So he was just as guilty. But we sometimes overlook that fact that he was just as guilty. God loves us unconditionally, no matter what we do. And sometimes it's hard for us to realize that he can still love us even though we messed up. Now, we can see this in the fact that God was still loving Adam and Eve after they made the bad decision and disobeyed him. Because he still provided for them. He didn't strike them down. And there are some parts in the Bible where when people disobeyed God, he did not hesitate to strike them down. But in this case, he still provided for them. But he also put some stipulations on them. Now, they wanted to believe what the devil said and thought they may have been seeking to find out more about God or get closer to God. But they were already quite close to God, closer than what you and I may get on this time side of life. Because even though they were made in his image, so are we made in his image. They found good favor in his eyesight. We have found good favor in his eyesight also. He provides for us. He provides for them. But yet still, they had this sense of curiosity that led them to their downfall. And we have to still believe today also that our choices before us and the things that we do that we know that we shouldn't do, and we tend to try to make it all right in a sense. I'm sure you've heard people say, I know what the Bible said, but, or I know I shouldn't do this, but, or the devil made me do it. We give an excuse like, it's okay. And if it's okay this time, then it'll be okay the next time, and then the next time, and then the next time, until before you know it, you've already stopped doing what you're supposed to be doing, and you just continue to do it wrong. In John chapter 3, verse 18, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Now, you will say, oh, that's easy. And it sounds very simple. But sometimes it's the hardest thing in the world to do, to believe in God's only Son, what he says, what he will do, the promises that he has made. we still disobey. Is it because the devil gets in our ear and says, did God really say? You know, I'm sure he didn't really say it like that, but that's what it sounds like to me when he tempts me to do something or paints that picture like, it's so nice if you do this and you, it's okay, you know, you won't hurt nobody. Nobody will know about it. And I know within myself, that's not what I'm supposed to do. Oh, I'm going to use the excuse, but they made me so mad. Oh, but, you know, I was going to do this, but this one interrupted me, or that one stopped me, or this came up, or that came up. Suppose God said, I was going to bless you, but this came up. Or I was intending to give you this, but I forgot. What state would we be in if that was to happen to us? Now, because of their disobedience, the result was evil, sin, suffering, sickness, and death. All that's what we go through today. It has plagued the world ever since they made that mistake. It has caused each man and woman that has been born to have a tendency to sin. Now, as we talk about the fruit, we don't really know exactly what fruit it was. We know it was forbidden fruit. And some people say, well, maybe she took it because it was supposed to have been loaded with vitamin C, or it had good fiber, was going to keep you healthy. That may be well and true, but it wasn't religiously nutritious. It caused them to lose out on their closeness they had with God. And because they passed it on to us, we don't have that closeness with God either. We have to strive for it every day. They had a closeness with God in the beginning where they didn't have to worry about it. You know, they knew about God in the coolness of the day, coming through the garden. They would walk and talk with him. I mean, in some form, they had to know that God was there. Maybe they didn't see him in person. But they knew. Moses didn't see God. He heard him. He felt the ground trembling when he spoke. If I was in today's time, it would be broad open daylight. If I was to be somewhere and someone said, Wesley, and the ground trembled or the house trembled or wherever I may start trembling, I would feel something in my heart. I don't know about y'all, but I would feel something in my heart. You talking about fear? I would be like the deer in the headlights. Because I know this is something I have no control over. But because we don't experience that, we let the devil entice us into doing stuff that we know we shouldn't do, which is going to be detrimental to us if we continue to do it. Now, God knows we're human. He knows we're going to sin. He makes a way for us to repent. But when you know that something is wrong and you shouldn't do it, you do it anyway, and then you don't repent, that's disobedience. And I'm just as guilty can be. That's one reason why I just stand up and say that, because I know I'm guilty. Have done it. As long as I still got breath in my body, I believe I will still do it. Not intentionally. Some things I do unintentionally, but some things I have to fight every time. My wife noticed one of my pet peeves. Every time I'm driving, I got to fight for people doing the same thing that I used to do, cutting in front of me and then making a turn. I'm like, what? You know? And I got to be on my P's and Q's because somebody had a slam on bricks in front of me, or a little child might run out in front of me, or anything can happen. But when you know that you're wrong, you do it anyway. And then you don't even say, Lord, forgive me. I don't know what came over me. I need help. You just go ahead. Like I said, you do it. It's all right this time. And then it's all right the next time. But you did it twice. If I do it one more time, it's okay. Next thing you know, you're in the habit of keep on doing this. You know, I forgot what was wrong and what was right. Perfect example. Look at the world today. And I know you all know some things that you knew was not right when you grew up. Now it seems like it's right. It's okay. So people doing it just like it ain't nothing. Nobody says nothing about it. And if you don't watch yourself, you will fall right into that same rut of doing the same thing you see other people do. Now, we would do well to remember. We would do well to remember that when God prohibits something, it's for our own good. Disobeying Him, going our own way, or deciding for ourselves what is not beneficial, that will lead us to disaster every time. As Adam and Eve did, they ate of that fruit. And as I said, we have suffered for it because that sin falls back on us. And some sins that we can commit will fall on our our own sons and daughters, maybe somebody else in our family, because they see what we do and they think if we do it, they can do it. And they know, we know better. So if they do it, it's all right. I was going up the street the other day and right up from where I live is a school. I'm coming up the street. I wasn't coming fast because I know I'm passing school. And this is a lady, had a little child. She see me coming up the street, and she walks right on out in the street with the little child to go to the car and open the door. Like, you going to stop for me? I mean, she didn't say it, but that was her action. Now, this little child, what do you think? They see a car coming, they just walk on out there too. That's the effect. It trickles down. As we live each day, it trickles down. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And we all know that the wages of sin is death. But God's gift to us is Christ. And through Him, we can have eternal life. But we have to make that choice. What Adam and Eve did ultimately required Jesus Christ to die on the cross and shed His blood on our behalf. Through faith in Christ, we can be free from sin and the consequences of sin. Because we don't have to pay that way, because Christ has already paid that way. But we can't just go and think we can walk in heaven and say, oh, I'm with Him. It don't work like that. We got to do our part while we're here on earth to show that I'm with Him. When we do that, then His blood covers us. It washes us clean of all sin. But I got a hard way to read for me in Romans chapter 7, verse 24 and 25. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord. But I got to accept that. I got to do what Christ said. I have to make that choice to be with him. And as Brian brought out, as he did the table, John 3:16, one of my favorite verses, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And it's great. We can believe. But again, we have to be tested. We got to show what choice we made. How is anybody going to know that we chose Christ? They should be able to see it in us. I ain't saying that we got to go out here and I think it was a group of people that I saw one time in a place. If I got it right, I think their name is Harry Krishners. They were dressed in these orange colored, looked like gowns or something. And they were banging tambourines. And they were skipping along the street and banging the tambourines and like little kids skip along. I was in awe because I'd never seen no grown person act like that, you know, and with what they had on. Plus the fact it was cold out there, and that's all they had on. I couldn't understand. And somebody told me, "Oh, that's Hare Krishna's, I think that's the name of it. But you may have heard of it, you may have seen it." But we don't have to put on a show like that to be a Christian. We will be recognized in the way in which we treat people. If you walk into a room and there's a bunch of people sitting in there, it could be a doctor's office, it could be any type of waiting room, a hospital, whatever, or any place that's gathering, people are gathered. And you walk in the room and everybody look at you like you was just like on Gunsmoke and walked into the saloon. The music stopped playing, everybody looking at you. They're trying to figure out what you're here for. But nobody says nothing. You looking at them, they looking at you. And then you say, "Good morning," or "Good evening." And then you may have a few of them say, "Hey, how you doing?" Or "Good morning," or "Good evening," whatever. You still have some that ain't even going to pay no attention to you. Drop their gaze. Won't even speak. But at least that lets them know that you're a pretty good person. Now, if you come in that same room, whether it's under your breath or loud enough for somebody to hear, and you grumbling and mumbling and two choice words, you go to sit down somewhere, people going to kind of draw away from you because they then too going to know what type of person you are. And that's the type of person they don't want to be around. Most people anyway. Well, we are supposed to set the example because we are Christians to let people know who we are. That's just one example. But I'm sure you know some of your own, of how to greet people, how to carry yourself, and what you can do to let people know who you are. Half-truths can be as deceptive as full-blown lies. Satan's deception in the garden had included a grain of truth. Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Again, I said, weren't they already as gods? They had God's image. That was something that, you know, it shouldn't be taken lightly because God has created everything else that he put in the world. And then he created all these animals. He could have fashioned man to be anything. Could have fashioned him to be like one of the animals. Could have fashioned him to be something different a different kind of animal, but he fashioned him to be in his own image. Wasn't he already like gods? He gave them something, as well as us, that he didn't give to the other animal. He had a brain that you could use to ration things out and to think and to decide and to make choice with. Wasn't that special? He treated them that way, but still wasn't enough. But after they ate of that fruit, oh, they were like gods then, because and then they knew what it was to have an evil streak, especially the streak of disobedience. They felt the guilt and the shame. You ever felt guilty or shame because somebody told you don't do something and you did it anyway and you got caught? Some people don't have that. You know, they don't feel nothing. But some of us do, because God puts a little of himself in each and every one of us. That's what we call morals. We tend to think of that. The entry of sin into the world was a curse, leading to the lost fellowship with God and other judgments, as I spoke of, upon Adam and Eve. Those judgments and the curse that trickled down that we are still experiencing today. Genesis chapter 3, verse 16 through 19. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, and thy conception and sorrow shall thou bring forth children. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over you. And unto the man, and unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat, cursed is the ground for thy sake. And sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall I bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return to the ground, and out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. I don't know about some of you, but I have, in my little short lifetime, did some hard work in order to make a living. And yes, I can attest to the fact that it was the sweat of my brow that I was able to sustain life for me and my family. I had to do what I had to do, so, you know, that was work. And I'm sure you women that are mothers can attest to the fact that having a baby ain't easy. It still happens today. Those judgments are still going on. Only in the end, when God creates a new heaven and a new earth, will the curse be broken. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 3 and 4, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And also in verse 22, chapter 22 and verse 3, it adds that there will be no more curse, for the throne of God, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Isn't that good news? We won't have to suffer no more. There's going to be a different heaven and earth. That's what we got to look forward to. This curse is still going on today. And if you didn't know it, like I said, all you got to do is think back to the time when you were younger, and how did the world look then? As to now, how does the world look to you today? The things that you see people doing then, as opposed to the things that you see people doing today. When I was younger, we could walk down the street. I would like to say in the cool of the day, but it could be any time in the evening. And not only in my neighborhood, would you walk down the street and you see people sitting on the porch, you spoke and they spoke to you. As a young person, you may not know who they were, but you, good evening, and how you doing? You went on about your way. Nowadays, you sit on your porch if you want to and see somebody walk by the street. You allowed to get cursed or shot at. And that's a normal thing. This world has changed so much, and it's steadily changing. The curses are real. It's still here. Now, I did have another section that I didn't add that in, but I want to bring that out because I think it's important to realize. In this place, this new earth, new heaven, there will also be the tree of life. I mean, the tree of life will be there. God didn't allow Adam and Eve to stay in the garden because with everything that they have done and all the sin and suffering and death that they had brought into the world, if they still had access to the tree of life, they would have continued to eat and would have possibly lived forever. Now, consider this. Suppose they hadn't disobeyed God. There's a good possibility that we wouldn't even be existing today. Because Adam and Eve could have possibly lived forever. They had the tree of life there, which as long as they ate from the tree of life, life would continue for them. They would continue to obey God. They would continue to stay in the garden. That would have been just fine. Nothing else would have happened. All the history as we know it would not have happened. Possibility. Of course, it all depends on what God wanted. But like I said, when God told them, when you eat, he didn't say if you eat. He said when you eat. So he knew they were going to do that. And he knew all this was going to happen. But he still, in his unconditional love, made a way for us to get back to him. But he gives us all a choice. And it's up to us whether or not we want to spend eternity with him or not. So this is my perception of a story behind the two trees in the Garden of Eden. It consists of a portion of God's word. And by sitting here today, if you're not a Christian already, you have already made a step. Actually, your step was made when you decided to come to church today. But in order to take the steps to become a Christian, you have to hear God's word, and you have to believe it. You have heard a portion. It's up to you to believe. You have that choice. If you do believe, you have some more choices to make. You have to repent of your wrongdoing and your lifestyle. You have to make a change. You have to confess your sins. You have to be baptized. But the most, I guess, difficult thing would be you have to live as Christ wants you to live for the rest of your life. And it's not impossible. Because, as I said, in God's unconditional love, he's already made provisions for all of us, even when we mess up. And he forgives us if we confess and repent. If you are a member in the body of Christ and you need prayer, to actually come forward as we play the same invitation song.